Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is co-host of the broadcast and the Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College, Dr. Les Olala. Here we are in the studio. We have our Bibles and a cup of coffee and some great notes that we're looking at in terms of today's broadcast.
Well, we're continuing our challenge for the new year, 2008. And as we look at things that we have talked about earlier in the broadcast, we want to add now to the seven things we talked about that were a marathon mindset. We want to discuss now two keys
for
to
success. Yeah. Well, let me just let our listeners know, our first broadcast in this series was entitled Developing a Marathon Mindset. You actually gave us the story that you got from an article that we were reading together on the history of the Greek marathon, 26.3 miles.
Yes. And if you pulled up the other broadcast, you would be able to catch the three broadcasts that we did on the marathon mindset. And it gave the history of how the marathon race started. And Pheidippides, who was this runner, who brought news back that victory was attained and then dropped dead.
Yeah.
And the lessons that were learned from that, did he have to die while he was in the midst of that thing? And there were some things that could have been done differently.
Right.
While we have a marathon mindset, we want to give everything we have. Are there some things that we can do in wisdom to help us along the way?
And we spent three broadcasts together talking about the seven cultivations of a marathon mindset. And you can pick that broadcast up at www.thewordforlife.org. But what we want to talk about today, Doc, as you said at the beginning of the broadcast, is are there some keys to succeeding? When we think about biblical success from the divine perspective, are there some important categories, are there some important keys to making sure that we actually do succeed in the task God has given to us?
In light of the vision, in light of the long-term race,
mm-hmm.
Paul models the two keys to success. Number one, a bad memory. Number two, good vision. And you might think, what in the world is that?
Bad memory
and
good
vision. Do you have to have Alzheimer's in order to be successful? I think when we look in Philippians, we look at the story of Paul giving testimony, and he makes very clear that we are to forget that which is behind, and we mm-hmm. have to press forth onto that which is before.
Yeah, that's Philippians 3, isn't it?
Philippians chapter 3, which we were in as we were looking at this other context.
Let me read that passage so that our listeners have it in their mind. Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. There's your bad memory, forgetting those things which are behind.
Yes, that's the forgetting. But we want to talk about how do you do that? You just say, well, I had a bad year last year, forget it.
Yeah.
Or are there more things involved?
Right. Well, for a lot of people, 2007 might have been a rough spiritual year.
It might have been rough in a lot of ways. It may have been rough in spiritual battles. It may have been rough in family conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
It may have
mm-hmm.
been rough in business losses. But the thing is, we have to forget that which is behind. And when we consider what Paul had to look at, when Paul said forgetting that which is behind, that carried a lot of what Paul had
mm-hmm.
to bury
mm-hmm.
about his past.
And he certainly had a lot to bury. He said, I was the chief of sinners.
Yet as a Pharisee, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees.
Mm.
You have to think of the guilt that he must have carried.
Mm-hmm. When he talked about how he persecuted the church.
And I think it's an encouragement to us, no matter what your past, failures are never final as mm-hmm. long as God's grace mm-hmm. is operable.
That is such a blessing, isn't it?
Yeah, and you think
that's a truth to hold on to.
Of the grace of God that is active, involved in that.
So how do you forget the past? You know, I think about last year. There's some things that I'm thankful for. There's some, my boy, you know, our family, my wife and I, our children, we've enjoyed the blessings of God. And, you know, as Beth has gone through this process with cancer, and we've seen so many good things come of it. But there's also been those dark moments in the year where I'm not so proud of. And you look back and you say, boy, you know, those are some days I wish I could do over. How do you get over that? How do you do what you're talking about? How do you forget that part of the past?
Well, I think it's a good point that you make, that forgetting involves both the good and the bad. If I had successes in the past, I can't live
on those successes.
If there were failures of the past, I cannot stop living because of those past
mm-hmm.
failures.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first thing in how do I forget in order that I might go on to the second step of a good vision. How do I forget? Number one, I must know conviction. In other words, if there's something that was in my life that is wrong,
mm-hmm.
and there's a refreshing thing about conviction. When the Spirit of God begins to work and you begin to think, oh, and it's evidently God's Spirit bringing to mind something, and you say, God, let me today be clean. Let me live an honest, honorable mm-hmm. life mm-hmm. before you. And yet mm-hmm. something that comes, and it could be in relational, it could be personal, it could be family, it could be a lot of different mm-hmm. areas. The Spirit of God convicts. See, when Peter got to that point,
yeah.
the refreshing that came mm-hmm. after Peter finally responded to the gaze of Christ
mm-hmm.
when he acknowledged what he was. Peter could not go on
like
to become the man of Pentecost had he stayed what he was and not come to repentance.
Yeah.
God in his
yeah.
mercy was trying to bring Peter to a point of conviction where his conviction would ultimately be acknowledged in responding.
So conviction is actually a blessing.
Oh, it is a blessing. I mean, you look at Psalm 51. How did David go on to be successful
yeah.
after that horrendous failure with Bathsheba? Psalm 51 gives that.
Yeah.
Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. He again became productive in giving the gospel to those who were without the gospel.
Psalm 32, he taught sinners in the way.
Yeah, that, Psalm 32. But he said, my bones waxed old through roaring all the
yeah.
day long. Day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. I believe that was conviction.
Yeah, sure it was. I mean, I know this is a simple question, but how do I recognize conviction when it's happening?
It is, in my opinion, the basis of self-control, because self-control is responding to the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when the Spirit prompts me, I'm in your service, and you hit upon a truth that is a point of neglect or disobedience in my life. I instantly know the Spirit of God prompts.
Yeah.
There's
no
voice. There is that inner prompting that says, you know what, that is right. And I write on my notes, this needs to be settled. This needs to be taken care of. What do I do in taking care of that? And there's a difference between self-imposed guilt. There are some people who impose guilt on themselves because they feel guilty for feeling joyful. They say,
I'm
this
too happy today.
Right. I'm too happy today. And they really know nothing of the grace of God in relationship to their Christian living. I mean, we enjoy the grace of God. We are what we are because of His grace. Primary example is Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus.
Yeah.
You talk about an abrupt halt to a lifestyle that was driven by a mentality of hatred against the church, hatred against the way, hatred against the person of Christ. And yet he's confronted by the person of Christ.
And you know, it's interesting you talk about conviction, because God says in there to him, is it hard for you to kick against the goads?
Yes.
And that has to be conviction.
Explain what that means. What does it mean to kick against the goads?
Literally to resist. It's the idea of somebody prodding you and you're kicking back at it.
Yeah, and the mules, when the mules were pulling in their
harnesses yeah.
and they were beginning to rebel, when they kick, they would hit a prod that was there. If they kicked, it's hard for you to kick against these goads.
Yeah.
So you better just keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
And Paul came to a point where he got the experience to know Christ face to face and the refreshing of forgiveness.
That when I get convicted, what is it that I need to do?
Well, second thing is confession. How do I go on to a step of forgetting to where I could go on to victory? Well, I'm convicted. God's Spirit convicts me.
And I acknowledge that.
Yeah, I acknowledge
that.
And that's why I feel like I don't want the pillow in my head. If something is not right, I make an attempt to make it right. If it's a phone call, if it's a... I can't live with a mask on knowing I have to pillow my head before the Lord. And so the second thing that comes is confession. It's not enough for me to be convicted. I have to come to confession. You see that modeled in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah cried, woe is me.
For I am undone.
I am undone. He made a confession,
agreement
with what God was pointing out to him. And when he saw the holiness of God, he saw his sinful condition. And there's confession. that comes, and David came to that same point.
So you define confession, if I understand what you just said, as agreeing with God about what he's convicting me over.
If I understand 1 John 1:9 correctly, what does the word confess mean?
To say the same.
Say the same.
Yeah, to say the same. Yeah.
You're saying the same thing. So when I confess, I'm not telling God something he doesn't know.
Right.
So I don't get down and say, God, I have to confess sin. And when I share this, you are going to be shocked. No, God knows exactly what is he. He is waiting for me to agree with him that what he calls sin, I call sin. And maybe last year you lived your life and you say, boy, there was just something that was not right. I tried to deal with it, tried to cover it. Spirit of God convicted, and I finally had to come to agreement
with God
that this is exactly what it is.
And that leads to the third thing in forgetting.
In cleansing. I know now the cleansing, where David said, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me in my soul, in my inner man. In fact, it may be good for us in a minute here. Just turn to Psalm 51 and read some of the highlights so we don't miss that. 1 John 1:9, if we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us
from unrighteousness. Yeah, and that goes right along with verse 2, wash me thoroughly from iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before thee. He goes on, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. There's the cleansing. And
yes,
the result of all of that is, make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice.
As we look at coming to a close of this particular broadcast, you say, I want this year to be a different kind of a year than I had last year, but there are things I need to forget.
And that starts then with the conviction of God.
Yes.
And agreeing with God through confession.
Yes.
And then accepting the cleansing from God over my sin and then doing my part to cleanse the sin out.
Right. Do the steps that God says that you have sinned. Come short of my glory, I agree with him, and he does the cleansing work in my life. It is a freedom that comes. But I can't continue to carry that as though God did not forgive. I cannot continue to carry that as though God did not deal with it properly. I'm cleansed from that sin.
Well, this is certainly a wonderful key to success here in the beginning of 2008 as we begin our second portion of our series, Developing a Marathon Mindset. We need to have a bad memory. And I never thought I would kind of say it like that, but we really do biblically need to have a bad memory.
But before we can have that bad memory, these other things need to be considered.
Amen. Well, Doc, thank you for taking time to walk through this with us. For those of you listening to the broadcast today, you can download today's broadcast at www.thewordforlife.org. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.